From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to receive the riches of your grace, that we may be ready to receive you wherever you appear, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir? But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 33 responsively. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people chosen to be God's heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven.
God sits firmly enthroned and watches all who dwell on the earth.
God.
King is not served by the size of the army, nor are warriors rescued by their great strength. Truly, your eye is upon those who fear you, O Lord, upon those who wait for your steadfast love. Our innermost being waits for you, O Lord, our helper and our shield. Your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, even as we place our hope in you. Reading from Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that were not visible. By faith Abram obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren. Because he considered him faithful, who had promised, therefore from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come to serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. How good are you at reciting memory verses, reciting verses by heart from Scripture? We're going to do a little test. Who knows Genesis 1:1? Say it together. All right, great. Okay, let's go to another one. How about John 3:16? Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's good. Okay. How about Luke 12:32? Aha. Aha. How about this? "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Can you say that? "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I wish that we all had that in our minds. That verse, I think, in some ways, holds so much more hope for us than all the other verses in the Bible. There's something about that verse that is just filled with hope. For one thing, it's all about what God is going to do, what God is doing. And it doesn't have anything to do with us. It's not what I'm going to have to do. It's what God is doing. And it's God's pleasure to do it, to give us the kingdom. That's the good news, and that's the promise for today. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And what good news that is. You know, God doesn't just want to give us some things. God doesn't just hope that we're doing well. God isn't sitting on some fluffy cloud with a clipboard marking off our good deeds and watching for our slip-ups. God wants to give us the kingdom and all good things. Not only does he want to, Jesus says, "It is your Father's good pleasure." Imagine that. God really, really wants to give us the kingdom and all good things. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's a good thing to have that verse in your memory bank, especially when we read the next verse. Because if we didn't have that verse in our memory, these next verses would really knock you for a loop if you didn't have that promise that God really, really wants to give you the kingdom. Because the very next thing Jesus says is, sell all your possessions. Give everything away. Give alms. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. That last part, where your treasure is, there your heart will be, that's often misquoted. We often get it mixed up and say that where your heart is, that's where you'll put your treasure. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that our hearts will follow where we put our treasure. Like a dog runs after a stick. That kind of determination. How we spend our money determines where our heart is. Where our heart and where our attention goes. How we spend our money determines what kind of person we will be. What we will love. Our stewardship of time and treasure is a way to form our Christian lives. It's a way to walk the discipleship, to walk the walk, and our heart will follow. Sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, I'm not going to support that because my heart's really not in it. Well, the way to get your heart in it is to support it, because your heart will follow your treasure. And we do want to do what Jesus teaches. We do want to do that. We want to hold our possessions loosely so that we can sell what we need in order to give to the needs of the poor. We want to be generous towards others as God is generous. That's the way that we open our hands to receive what God wants to give us, the kingdom. To open our hands to receive the experience of God giving us the kingdom. Now, this kind of generosity isn't what most people would call wise financial planning. Conventional wisdom tells us that the wise person is the one with the resources who builds up a retirement fund and a rainy day fund. Build up those resources, we're told, so that we can have the freedom and that we'll be able to keep at bay the troubles of today and the troubles of the future. But as we're walking through the Gospel of Luke this season, we will hear over and over again that saving strategy isn't wise according to God's economy, according to God's wisdom. It's not wise to try to find security and peace in our treasures. It's not wise to try to find peace and security in our nest eggs or slush funds. And we know the truth of that. We know that money isn't the source of our peace and security. We know that as long as we try to rely on our own resources that we've accumulated for security, we will never be free from fear. We will know only too well in our heart of hearts that there are a lot of things in the world that we can't control, no matter how big our retirement fund is, no matter how big our rainy day fund is. If we wait to be generous until we feel we can afford it, we might wait forever. But the flip side of that is that when we can let go of those things that we've worked so hard for, because we thought they were going to give us security, we'll discover what really is secure in this life, what is rock solid through all the changes and chances that life has to dish out. We'll discover when we're not paying so much attention to our treasure, we will discover that it is God's good pleasure to give his kingdom away. And especially, specifically, to give the kingdom to you. You are God's beloved child. And there is nothing in life that can take that away. There are all kinds of things that we can grab onto that insulate us from experiencing God's kingdom gift. It's easy to say, do not be afraid, little flock. But it's hard to do, to not be afraid. When our heart is torn between trusting God and all of those crazy things that Jesus says, and trusting our culture, what it says, what is secure, and how we can get that way. And the solution to this torn heart situation is what Jesus advocates, and that is stepping out in faith, giving our treasure to the poor, and knowing that our heart will follow. This is not a prosperity gospel that says if you give your treasure to where God's heart is, then you'll be blessed with more and more resources and more prosperity. This is not a prosperity gospel. This is an identity gospel. If we choose to behave as children of the Father, whose role model is Jesus, because of who we are the children of God, and if we act like the children of God, then our hearts will follow. We take that step that the world says is foolishness, and we experience, as a result of that trust, not only a deeper intimacy with God, but also real love in community. Generosity leads to generosity. Trust begets trust. This morning we heard the story about Abraham in both the Old Testament reading and in the letter to the Hebrews. And that word, it's credited to Abraham, and they talk about his faith. But faith here doesn't mean an intellectual assent to some doctrine or teaching. This word faith is like trust and allegiance. Less what we would call creed, more what we would call relationship. Having faith is not trying to convince yourself that you're really convinced about something. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not trying to convince yourself that you really are convinced about something. Faith isn't measured like a steady needle on the lie detector test when you say, yes, I do believe. Abraham said, God will make us a people and we will have a homeland. He said that believing it. And you know that you have faith when, despite your pounding heart and your anxiety, you take that next step like Abraham did, not knowing, not understanding it intellectually, but trusting, having that relationship with God. He took the next step out into the desert. Your heart will follow your feet, and you will become more fully the person that God sees as your true identity. If you have faith, strengthen your faith by letting your heart follow. This gospel challenges us to let our heart follow our feet, to be transformed into people who wholeheartedly follow all of Jesus' message, who are open to receive all of God's promises. We all have the promise that God wants to give us the kingdom. And sometimes we have trouble remembering and acting on that promise. And that's why we gather week after week to pray for one another, to pray for our church, to pray for ourselves that we will remember this promise and that we will act on this promise. We pray that we will remember and help us to open our hands and help us to not be afraid to put our hearts where our treasure is. God wants to give us the kingdom and all good things. Not eventually, but right now, right here, right now. Hang on to that promise and its fulfillment in your life today. Look for signs of God's kingdom breaking through in your life right now, today, because that's the promise And we know that God was the promise maker, is the promise keeper. Thanks be to God. Amen.